We are here with Ryan Francis, CEO and founder of Whistler. Whistler is a technology staffing firm specialized in mobile engineering. You work with Flutter, iOS, Android, React Native, Xamarin, and more. But these seem to be your main technologies. And I want to talk to you today because while there's a lot of recruiting firms out there, not many are specializing into mobile engineering. And so I thought you'd have a lot of insights into the industry. So, Ryan, do you want to maybe tell us a little bit more about who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you having me on, Ben. It's a pleasure to be here. Just a quick intro. My name's Ryan. And like Ben mentioned, I am the founder of Whistler. It's something that I recently founded as of this week, actually. But I am a specialist within the staffing space and specifically within the mobile engineering staffing space based out here in Austin, Texas. I've specialized in the mobile space for really the duration of my entire career. And like I said, yeah, Whistler is something that I've just recently founded and founded it on the premise of it being a highly specialized firm specifically for mobile engineering and across, you know, all of the frameworks that Ben just mentioned. And specifically, I would say most of my staffing experience comes within the cross-platform space. So it's been a lot of React Native, a lot of Flutter, but I've pretty much touched just about everything with the mobile you can think of.
So what brought you to this industry specifically rather than the broader tech umbrella?
Yeah, so to be quite honest, and sometimes like most things in life, mobile engineering was something that I kind of fell into. So at my very first firm that I worked for called Oscar, there was no one doing mobile engineering. So no one was overseeing that patch. So I kind of took it over. And it didn't take long for me to fall in love with the space. I find that mobile engineers are almost like the perfect balance between beautiful design, creativity, and then back-end functionality, right? I feel like mobile engineers and the people that I've met are just always really interested in not only UI, UX, and beautiful designs, but also this functionality portion of it. So it's like a healthy mix of both. And then obviously me being a 27-year-old, I am on my phone a lot. I have a lot of different mobile apps. So being able to talk with people that have built these things that I use on my phone each and every single day is just so, so cool to me. I think it's such an interesting space and a space that I am definitely super passionate about.
That's what I like about it, being able to bring what you build into your pocket and use it at any time. You've posted a lot of your kind of your financial success on in your that you brought, you know, a lot of sales that you brought to your previous companies. Do you want to talk maybe a little bit more about like the opportunities in recruiting and what you're seeing there? Because it seems like there's a lot of recruiters making more money than even engineers. And so what's the business like on your side?
Yeah, so recruitment is a very lucrative business. If you work hard and you work smart, it's just like any job. I mean, it is what you make it, and it is a lot of work. And typically how recruiters get paid is you'll work for a business, and that business will agree a contract with a client that's looking for a certain, you know, in this case, mobile engineer. We'll take home a fixed percentage of that position's base salary. And then as a recruiter, I get paid a percentage of that fee. So it's a very lucrative business if you work hard and you're good at spinning a lot of plates and, you know, so on and so forth. And I've seen a lot of success as well, which is amazing. But it's the tip of the iceberg, right? A lot of hard work, blood, sweat, tears went into getting to where I am. And there is no, you know, it's the only business out there that your product is people, right? I mean, if you're selling a medical device and you do a sale, you know, the transaction happens right then and there. Whereas, when you're working with people, it's a 2-3 week process, sometimes even month long process to get someone through, interviewing and people can change, their opinions. So, you know, a device can't change its opinion. Whereas a person, it's so unpredictable. Anything can happen. So, it's a very frustrating but very lucrative business in recruitment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So So I saw you've done a ton of sales, and I assume that's kind of why you're deciding to go your own way and start Whistler. Can you tell me a little bit more about like why you're starting Whistler today, and what you're doing differently?
Yeah, so Whistler is a company I founded specifically to specialize within the mobile space. And I find that there are so many recruiters out there that say they can recruit for everything, right? That they're a jack of all trades. And I think that the best way to break this down is to flip it back to software engineering, right? So if you're speaking to a software engineer and he can, they're saying they can do front end, back end, cloud, DevOps, QA, mobile, product, all in one. While I'm sure there are some software engineers out there that can do all of these things, I'm a big believer in being a subject matter expert in a niche market rather than being mediocre at everything, right? So I envision Whistler as being the go-to source for mobile engineering recruitment across these, you know, most prevalent frameworks out there nowadays, which in my opinion is obviously native iOS, Android, Flutter, React Native, and then Xamarin and Maui.
I would agree with the tech stack here. So what's your specific approach to recruiting these mobile developers, like from finding them to engaging them and vetting their skills and everything that goes into recruiting?
Yeah. This one's an interesting one. So there's really no silver bullet approach because every single client is different. So each client will value different things and also have a different set of skills that they're looking for, right? So I always say the most important thing in recruiting is your EQ or your emotional intelligence. I think that being able to put yourself in your client or your candidate's shoes to really understand what exactly is important to them. And on the flip side, what's most important to your candidate, that allows you to recruit effectively. And if you do your job right in recruitment, this is what I've always said, it won't feel like you're selling to your client or your candidate. If you are truly understanding what it is they need or what is important to them, all it feels like you're doing is doing what they want and what is right. It's a weird thing to kind of explain, I guess.
And so what does your entire process look like from initial engagement? Like where do you find, I guess it's kind of almost like a one-person marketplace system where you have to find both like developers, but you're also looking for companies to work with. So how does it go from like initial engagement all the way down to like having a successful placement with a client?
Yep. So much goes into it. I could probably talk for an hour on this one, but I'll take you through as quickly as I can what it looks like. So first is obviously intake, right? So this is the very first call with your client to run through the position. And I always say that this is the most amount of time that you are going to get with your client from the initial intake through the close of the process. So you need to maximize your time. So you gather all of the information you need about the role. And this is not just tech skills or tech stack. This is culture. This is what problems the team is facing right now. The scope of the position, what they're building, what does the client value? What makes a good candidate in their eyes in this subjective situation or this subjective position? And then from there, it's outreach, right? So this is doing your due diligence, getting your advertisement up, reaching out to your existing network, who align well with the role, of course, and then new outreach to new candidates. You don't want to leave any stone unturned, right? So you look at it as like a pyramid. So you start out at the top. So this is like the absolute best possible candidates. They tick every single box. And then as you work the role, you slowly widen that pyramid out until you find what you're looking for. I always try to send the absolute best of the best. I think that clients nowadays, especially in this current market, they are getting a ton of direct applicants. So being super precise with your submissions is very important. Not getting too trigger happy and spending time really triaging the perfect fits and then sending those. I say that six candidates to a position, if you do your job correctly from intake through the process, six candidates will result in a placement. And then after you find your candidates, submit them to the client. Of course, now it's all about, process. So this is arranging interviews, closing your candidate, prepping them for the interviews, being in constant contact with your candidate and with your client to understand, their growing excitement, hopefully towards the role, making sure they're prepared and then making sure they don't have things competing with this current, process that they're going through. And if they do, how competitive are they? Again, putting yourself in your candidate's shoes to understand, okay, how is my candidate thinking and what are they going to do, if they do get an offer? And then of course, once you're finished and hopefully you do get your candidate to the end of the process and your client wants to make an offer, this is where you have to close. But if you do your job correctly throughout the process, it really shouldn't feel like you're closing them. At this point you should know that, okay, X candidate is very happy about this company. The salary, this is what they want. My client is prepared to offer that. And, you want to be able to say to your client here at the end of the process, if you can get my candidate this offer, they will 100% move forward with your business. And of course there's no absolutes when you're dealing with people. That's why I said, people are unpredictable, but getting as close as you can possibly get to 100% acceptance, that's where you want to be. And then, if they do move forward, then it's aftercare, right? So making sure they're ready to start, they don't have any questions. And when they do get started, the role is what was advertised and they're enjoying it and so on and so forth.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a hiring manager for a bunch of different roles pretty often. And I always appreciate the working with a good recruiter, because rather than like having to filter through these hundreds of candidates and spend a lot of time talking to bad ones, you end up with like a very tailored list of like good people. And with the best recruiters, you're like, oh, I want to hire all of these people. and yeah, it's always really nice. So you have a super unique view, I think, of the market. And, I think our platform is built for mobile engineers mostly. But I think hearing the perspective of someone who's coming maybe from less of a technical background, but has like all of the insights from working both with like startup Fortune 500 companies and working super closely with mobile engineers. I was kind of curious to know how you're staying up to date with all the technical trends, really, and what tools and websites you use to do that.
Yep. Candidates. I mean, candidates are king. Your candidates are the core function of recruitment. Of course you attend meetups and, you pay attention to, obviously the Google I/O was this week. So staying up to date with the newest releases from things like Android, Flutter, what's on the horizon, is very important, but your candidates are really king in this situation. So talking to engineering leaders or candidates, I find especially contractors, career contractors, they are great people to speak with to know the current trends on the market, because they are constantly hopping from project to project. And usually that project entails some sort of update on the functionality of an app. So like a good example are like airlines. They're constantly updating their app each and every month when there's new laws that come out. So they're very big employers of contract teams. And so speaking to contractors that are constantly jumping from project every 3, 6, 12 months, they will have a very good pulse on what sort of updates are coming and what sort of tools are being used. Short answer, I guess, is your candidates. You have to keep them close because they are your eyes, your ears, and your nose, I guess you could say too.
That makes sense. So in recent years, Flutter obviously exploded. I think that's probably why you're spending a lot of time on it right now. Do you foresee like any other technologies that are kind of like growing, maybe still a little bit under the radar still in mobile app development that companies are starting to look into?
I think definitely. I think the big one right now is cross-platform. I think that a lot of companies are realizing that, when you can kill two birds with one stone, it's not only cost-effective, but it's just seamless, right? And I think that there's a lot of new technologies coming out for cross-platform. Kotlin multi-platforms, one, Flutter. I know MAUI is relatively new. And then, I mean, the easy answer is the emergence of AI, right? I mean, it's the hottest topic, I think, in software engineering right now. So finding those little packages that you can use within mobile for AI integrations is big right now. But you have to be a chameleon, right? It's exactly like software engineering. If you silo yourself in software engineering into one respective space or one respective framework or whatever it is, you can fall behind the times so quickly. And recruitment's the same. I mean, because we're so closely tied with software engineering, we need to be able to adapt and be a chameleon to what's hot and where the market is moving. And like your previous question, how you do that, you stay close with your candidates, and you really pick up on those trends and then mold your desk and form it into what is hot right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I also want to ask you about the current market. I have a short story, but two or three years ago, I was hiring for a mobile app for a mobile developer position, Android developer. The person had 3 years of experience and was asking for like $200,000 in salary plus doc, for someone very junior, obviously. And so with the past couple of years, we've also seen like a lot of layoffs. I think somewhere around like 250,000 people got laid off by big tech. Obviously, not all engineers, but we're seeing that across like a large number of tech companies in the Bay Area and kind of beyond that. And so I was wondering, this is something that is impacting you right now in your recruitment, and if you're seeing this drive salaries down a little bit.
Absolutely. That's the short answer, is that the big boom a few years ago, and I was blessed enough to start in recruitment kind of around this time when the market was insanely busy. And it was very much candidates, you know, for every candidate, good candidate out there, they had seven opportunities in front of them, right? So they could negotiate these very big packages, whereas now, it's a lot more competitive, and it's, you know, simple supply and demand, isn't it? So there's not as many jobs out there right now, which is obviously driving costs down. And I've spoken to contractors that I've placed before a couple years ago that were looking for 110, 120, 130 an hour. And now they're entertaining things that are, you know, 90, 80 an hour. And so it's just the way it goes, isn't it? And it's a roller coaster. It will go back up. There will be a time where candidates are king again. And so you just got to adapt with the times. Right now, as a recruiter, it's about talking to as many candidates as you can, because there's so many in the market. Whereas, you know, 2 years ago, I'd be hitting people up that just wouldn't give me the time of day because it was so competitive and so saturated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the last topic I kind of want to talk to you about is, about what makes mobile engineers stand out and kind of special in this market, especially at a time where it is super competitive. And I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff as you are, where even from 6 months ago, people are like, yeah, we're willing to see our numbers go down a little bit. And so from your experience, what distinguishes successful mobile engineers?
This is a tricky one, because it's so subjective. And like I said in the beginning, is each client's different. And I tell people this sometimes when they don't get a job, and I have to unfortunately reject them. I say, you know, look, you could be the brightest peach of the bunch, but some people just don't like peaches. So it's super, super subjective from client to client. There's no silver bullet that makes an amazing candidate. I mean, there are some things that are pretty, you know, generalized that I think do stand out within mobile. So one is going to be consistency. I think that, and it goes back to being a master of one, not a mediocre at all, right? So if you're an iOS engineer, a client is going to want to see iOS, iOS, iOS as your, you know, each of your last positions, all things very specifically focused iOS, Swift, Swift UI. They don't want to see someone that was doing React Native here, Flutter here, iOS here. But again, the double-edged sword of that is there are clients out there that do like people that are generalists like that and can kind of help out in all of these different areas. I think another one is definitely like high-level contributions to a project. So not just like maintenance, bug fixing work, but I mean, again, you could go back to the double-edged sword. There are some clients that do just want someone that can come in and do maintenance and bug fixing. And then some of the other stuff I think is, I mean, side projects. I'm a big fan of side projects. I think that being a software engineer, if you have some stuff that you're working on outside of just your regular day job, that always is a good sign for clients. And then you could say not being too jumpy, you know, not moving jobs every 6 months. But I mean, again, there are contractors though that do move jobs every 6 months, or there are people out there that have had a really bad string of luck and have gotten laid off due to reductions in workforces at each of their last four companies. So it's hard. Like I said, that's a complicated one. It's very, very subjective from client to client. So I think that knowing what makes you special and then really highlighting that is how you can be successful as a mobile app engineer.
Mm-hmm. So on the flip side of that, what's the worst developer you ever put in front of a client? No name, please.
No, I would never. Oh man. Geez, I would. So early in my career, and this is something I have heard happen, and I never thought it happened to me, but I put forward a candidate for a position. And then the person that showed up to the interview, was a completely different person, but just using the same name, and kind of impersonating. And this is pretty common in the contracting world. I think it's a lot more common in the contracting world, obviously, because, you know, it's remote and stuff like that. But yeah, that was horrible. I felt awful.
how did it get caught?
So, I mean, it's because when you're onboarding somebody, you require a picture of their IDs sometimes. But it was just as they worked their way through the process, it was like, yeah, this is not, it's not the same person. It's all video interviews, right? And so it just wasn't the same voice, wasn't the same person. And yeah, the client was like, something is not right here, because they made it through the first interview. And then the next interview is when kind of things changed. And you know, it's called a recruiter sixth sense. As soon as you hear or think something's probably going wrong, it probably is. And then so upon that, did a little more digging, and I was like, yeah, this is fishy.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. People even do that. What I see more often is like people sending code that they didn't write, and then you do a quick Google search, and like, this is the first GitHub repo that comes up when you Google it. It's like, you didn't even try to hide it. Cool. Well, in closing, what's your number one advice you can give to mobile developers trying to get hired today?
I would say definitely use your network. I think that there's, you know, these applications are so saturated right now that your network is the strongest thing you can possibly use to break in. If you're a junior developer, do everything you can right now to work on projects, whether it be your local gym down the street that needs a mobile app for something, build it out for them. You know, if you're not getting paid for it, at least you can put it on your portfolio, and it shows a proactiveness and eagerness to break into the market. And then I think just preparing, and I'll use, obviously, if you're interviewing for a mobile app or a mobile position and you don't download the mobile app before the first interview, oh my gosh. I mean, you're just, you can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped, right? But I'll use a case study example for this. And it was a candidate I placed most recently. He did everything perfectly without me having to tell him. And I think that people don't know how far, people buy from people, and sometimes people hire from people. So just a quick follow-up after an interview, or a quick preemptive message, hey, I'm really looking forward to speaking with you, you know, confirming my acceptance of this interview on my calendar, looking forward to it, client, and I'll talk to you soon. And then finishing that interview, hey, I really enjoyed our chat. These are the specific things that I really like to hear. You know, it's growing my excitement towards this position. Little things like that go such a long way. And this specific candidate did all of this. He downloaded the app. As soon as I booked the interview, he followed up with the CTO that he was speaking with. Hey, I'm really excited to talk with you next Monday. You know, I'm preparing now. I can't wait. after that interview was over, followed up after, hey, I really enjoyed our chat for the X, Y, and Z reason. And all of this sort of stuff, it sounds so simple, but if you get to the end of a process and it's you and two other candidates and you are the only one that was doing this through the process, that might just be the thing that gets you the offer. So I think just manners and really being diligent about preparation and aftercare, afterthought, after interviews goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of that. Ryan, where can people find you?
Oh man, all over LinkedIn. That is my platform of choice. So definitely connect with me on LinkedIn, shoot me a message. You know, I try to get to everybody that pops in my inbox eventually. So if I take a few days, it's just busy, but definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. Give Whistler a follow too. We literally just launched this week. So we're kind of growing our following as we go, but definitely give us a follow there and stay tuned for updates on positions and, you know, things within the mobile space. But yeah, feel free to shoot me a connection on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with anyone within the space.
Well, we'll have your links in the description. So I think it's, and Whistler is whistler.io.
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you.
Thank you, Ben. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.